This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Unfortunately, starting the week with some bad news, which is the death of another victim from last week's Jerusalem bombing. The man who has died as a result of his wounds is Tadassa Tashume Ben Ma'ada. He was 50 years old and an immigrant from Ethiopia. He'd been in Israel for about 20 years. He leaves behind a wife and six children. He also was an innocent victim at the bus stop in Jerusalem when that explosion took place, in addition to 16-year-old Arya Sheshopik that we spoke about last week, who was buried already last week, but unfortunately a member of the Ethiopian community also taken. So unfortunately we have to start the week with bad news, and of course condolences to his family. I understand that the trauma and intensive care teams at Shaare Tzedek fought unbelievably to try to save his life. They really did an unbelievable job trying to treat him, but unfortunately in the end the teams at the hospital were unable to save him. And just on an entirely different topic, seeing as we're talking about World Cup and people are very taken up with what's going on in Qatar at the moment. So we know that Qatar was essentially forced to open up to Israelis and indeed other countries who potentially don't have diplomatic relations with Qatar. And quite a significant number of Israelis have chosen to travel to Qatar to watch the football, journalists and football fans amongst them. And it's interesting to hear the reports that are coming back from Qatar. Not all very favorable. People apparently are not feeling too much love. For the Israeli people who are in Qatar at the moment. Many, many reports about Israelis who have been put out of taxis because of the fact that they're Israeli when the taxi driver discovers that they're an Israeli, or simply being set upon by groups within the streets, not necessarily physically attacked, but certainly verbally attacked and not being made to feel very welcome in Qatar, not only by Qataris, but indeed by others from around the Middle East. And it's just interesting to see how, in spite of the Abraham Accords, which have really put a lot of enthusiasm and optimism into our world with regard to our relationship with Muslim and Arab countries, and yet the feeling is not necessarily there down to the grassroots levels, and we see the man in the street. I mean, clearly there are a number of Israelis roaming around Qatar who are trying to be a little controversial, going up and potentially trying to incite people to see what their reaction might be to them being Israeli. But I think that there's genuinely a lack of love.
But doesn't that talk more Israelis? Doesn't that talk more to Qatar, who doesn't have a relationship with Israel and isn't part of the Abraham Accords, where, you know, all of the reaction in the UAE, Saudi Arabia, whatever we've seen coming out of those countries has been enormously positive?
Well, one of the interesting phenomena about this current World Cup is the fact that the Palestinian cause seems to have been taken on very, very strongly by those people who support the Palestinian cause. And we've seen it coming out not only from Muslim supporters from the World Cup, but there was an interesting clip that I saw where an Israeli reporter approached a group of German girls, and they were very anti him being Israeli and very supportive, pro-Palestinian, which they saw as some sort of antagonistic kind of you know, you couldn't be a supporter of both Israelis and Palestinians. You have to choose sides on this particular issue, and there's no common place to support both the Palestinian cause and to support the Israeli cause, which I personally think there is a place for that somewhere. But clearly amongst the supporters in Qatar, they were either on, you know, you're either for us or you're against us, but you can't be for peace and for humanity and for a common trying to find a way to live together. So it's just interesting, lots and lots of TV clips and lots of social media about people's experiences in Qatar. And in the most part, and perhaps that's just the nature of the controversy that people are trying to drum up from being there, but in the most part, these clips that we see are not particularly optimistic about the reaction to Israelis being in Qatar.
No, not at all. Progress has been reported in the process of stitching together a coalition government. Where are we?
So we are 2 weeks into a four-week process, which has been allowed to give what we believe will be the future Prime Minister Netanyahu the opportunity to put together a coalition. We understand from the President that there were 64 Knesset seats who supported the idea of Netanyahu being Prime Minister when the President met with each of the individual political parties in the wake of the recent election. So the mandate was handed over to Netanyahu. He's already had 2 weeks of the four-week period that he has to form a government. And we understand on Friday that he reached an agreement with the Otzma Yehudit party, which is the party of Itamar Ben-Gvir. And the announcement that was made on Friday suggests that Itamar Ben-Gvir will be given a relatively senior ministerial position in the new government, and he will become what will be called the Minister of National Security, which is slightly different from what we've had up until now, because up until now we've had a Ministry of Public Security, and he is now getting what is considered to be a slightly expanded role as Minister of National Security. And interestingly, it will include oversight over the national police and border police in the West Bank only. And it's been specified and stated like that in the press, in the West Bank. So in Judea and Samaria, Itamar Ben-Gvir will have responsibility for the national police and the border police. For me, this sounds a very, very strange split indeed. To take the border police unit, which is currently under the auspices of the IDF, and say, look, to the extent that you're serving in Judea and Samaria and you're connected to a unit in Judea and Samaria, your control and your reporting line will be through the Ministry of National Security. And if you serve in the border police elsewhere, then your reporting line will be through the IDF, which it is today. So it seems a slightly strange split and almost like a patch job being created here in order to satisfy Itamar Ben-Gvir. In addition to that, he will have people who will be in charge of development in the Negev and the Galil. He will also have a newly created heritage ministry, and he will also be have people represented on the Knesset's Public Security Committee and the Knesset Special Committee for the Sovereign Wealth Fund, the Israel Citizens Fund, which oversees state revenue income from the gas drilling that's going on offshore of Israel. So that was the agreement that was reached with Itamar Ben-Gvir on Friday. In addition to that, yesterday we heard that an agreement was also reached with the Noam Party. Now, the Noam Party is a party of one, effectively, in the Knesset right now, because we will recall that Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich got together as well with the Noam Party, and they ran a single list in the election. But now that the election is over, they have split back up into the constituent parts, and each of the three parties are negotiating separately with incoming Prime Minister Netanyahu in order to try to create a new government. And it's interesting that the way that the Noam Party has negotiated with the incoming prime minister, because as I've said before, this is really just a party of one person, Avi Maoz, and he has been labeled in the press very, very controversially as an extremist, homophobic politician who apparently holds radical views on non-Orthodox Judaism, LGBT Israelis, Arabs and women. That's from
So this is what I wanted to ask you, because if I go to Times of Israel this morning, their headline now, and it's changed a bit, is Ben Gvir to tap as chief of staff aide along with long history of extremism. The second headline is a slap in the face to secular and traditional Jews, women's and gays. Netanyahu puts extremist, homophobic politician in charge of Israel's Jewish identity. Now, these hysterical headlines make me very nervous, not because I accept them as truth, but the minute we started to see this type of, in inverted commas, reporting, it means someone's trying to tell me what to think. And when we start labeling people like this, and there might be validity and concern, I'm not suggesting otherwise, but Netanyahu puts extremist, homophobic politician in charge of Jewish identity, slap in the face to secular and traditional Jews, women and gays. That is very, very worrying as a headline for me.
I agree with you. I mean, it's certainly an incendiary headline. There can be no doubt about that, referring to Avi Maoz, who, by the way, just so that people know, has apparently been given a deputy ministry within the prime minister's office. And this deputy ministry, we are told, will be responsible for what's termed in the newspaper, in inverted commas, Jewish identity, whatever that means. He will be in charge of the native program, as we understand it, and the native program is something which involves the potential bringing in of Jews from outside of Israel, knowing full well that the law of return does not currently sit alongside halacha in terms of who is allowed to claim Jewish citizenship. And I've said this a few times and I'll repeat, of course, according to halacha, person who is who has a Jewish mother is considered to be Jewish, but according to the law of return, anybody with any Jewish grandparent, any one of the four grandparents can be Jewish, and that individual will be entitled to claim citizenship of Israel under the law of return. And that in itself has been quite controversial, and so apparently Avi Maoz is now going to be one of the guys or the person in charge of taking hold of that. And the work that this office has done up until now has largely been focused on the Jews within the former Soviet Union, but apparently that will not be the limit of the remit that he will get when he takes up his position. But Howard, I agree with you. I mean, the man may well have a certain history which has antagonized people in the past, and of course he needs to be held accountable, and we need to understand what that history is and what his views are. But this headline, this screaming headline, is certainly designed to make Jews in the diaspora in most part nervous, and any other Jew who might not necessarily toe the line of being halachically Jewish and modern Orthodox according to the style of Avi Maoz is, according to this headline, potentially under threat right now. And of course, the reform movement and Jews from around the world have come out being very, very worried about this appointment, rather than being worried about the way in which it has been presented in the press. And you've taken a slightly different angle and said, let's let the man get on and do the job. He may well be ultimately accountable for actions which we don't agree with, but allow him at least to have a chance, and let's not scream from the headlines before he's even taken office.
Well, I absolutely. And as I say, I'm kind of allergic to this, to being told what to think. And this is designed to outrage me and make me think something. Now, if you're trying to sell it that hard, I need to understand why you're trying to sell it that hard, because something isn't right about the reporting. Let me make up my own mind, and don't tell me, don't scream all these labels at me and expect me just to swallow it, because we've been taught this before. We've seen this in the press, and we need to be very, very vigilant about it. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any backlash to this type of reporting. reporting. I suspect that it's going to do the very opposite or achieve the very opposite of that which they want to. We don't have a lot of time, but I just want to understand about this IDF soldier who was suspended for punching a left-wing activist in Hebron.
So unfortunately, this is all really part of the same story. We can't separate the screaming headlines and the attempts to try to alienate people and to create divide. We can't separate that from this event that took place in Hebron over the weekend, where an IDF soldier has been suspended for apparently beating a left-wing activist. Now, there certainly have been a number of incidents in Hebron over the last couple of weeks. We had a large group of modern Orthodox Jews who hold very, very right-wing views, going to Hebron, spending the weekend there, last weekend, the week or so, 10 days ago. And there were incidents involving IDF soldiers, and there were incidents involving potential taunting of Arab residents who live around the Hebron area. This weekend, we've seen exactly the opposite, where apparently a number of left-wing groups, and in particular groups involved with Breaking the Silence, which is a non-governmental organization that sets out to collect and publicize testimony by former Israeli combat soldiers about alleged human rights violations against Palestinians. That's the role of Breaking the Silence. And so obviously, when these IDF soldiers saw representatives from Breaking the Silence, knowing full well what they were there to do, and there was an altercation, this IDF soldier took it upon himself to punch the representative for Breaking the Silence. He's now been suspended. His father's come out saying he was a hero and he did the right thing. Someone in the group was heard saying, Itamar Ben-Gvir has been elected and he will sort you people out, referring to the left-wing Breaking the Silence group. But we clearly have we have a situation where our society is being divided, and extremists from both sides are being empowered by this new situation that we find ourselves in. And rather than trying to pull things together, unfortunately, our political environment is really splitting us apart, and we're seeing it within the IDF, and we're seeing it on the streets, and we're seeing it everywhere, where people are being driven to extremist views, driven partially by the press, driven partially by politicians and other actions in Israel. So I'm sorry I've run over the time, but I think this is a really important point, and we're going to come back to it.
There is no doubt. This is one we are not getting away from, whether we want to or not. It is 8:01. Anthony, I thank you for that. The Israel report. That was the Israel report. A very good morning.
That Israel report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.